The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I want to welcome everyone to the show this morning as we discuss Think and Grow Rich, which is a landmark classic book written by Napoleon Hill with the International Mastermind Association. And this is Blog Talk Radio, and we are really, really excited. We've got yet another amazing show today as we continue to discuss Chapter 7 on Decision, the Mastery of Procrastination, which is the seventh step to riches. We also have Tiffany Willis Gilmore, who is an amazing, amazing guest, and we're going to have a conversation with her a little later on in the show. If you've got any friends, relatives that you believe need to hear this conversation, you've got an opportunity to tweet, to share on Facebook, across all social media, to make sure that they are ready for that conversation. We do want this to be a conversation, so please be prepared to call in to 661-554-9219 and then hit number one on your phone, so that you can have a conversation with Tiffany Willis Gilmore or any of the co-hosts on the show. We want this to be interactive. I am really excited every week because I get to hang out with some of the most amazing people that I've had the opportunity to come in contact with, and these are my co-hosts. So I'm going to introduce each of them and ask that they share not only a little bit about themselves, but any ahas that they have from reading this chapter. So first up is Ann McNeil. Ann?
And good morning, good morning, good morning. Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives and building legacy. And Galen, like I shared earlier before the show started, as I read this book, every single principle and every single chapter, I'm really living in it. And so this decision chapter that we're discussing today in the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, the aha moment that jumped out at me, there were actually a couple. One of the aha moments is on page 154, where the book talks about how Samuel Adams and Richard Lee became an important factor in making the decision. This was the founding of the United States as we know them to be. But they said these words, and I'll read them. It said that Samuel Adams communicated frequently by correspondence, sharing freely their fears and their hopes concerning the welfare of the people of their provinces. And from this practice, Adams conceived the idea that a mutual exchange of letters among the 13 colonies might help to bring about the coordination of efforts so badly needed. And the reason that stuck out at me is because I then began to internalize that about the decision to write letters. Something as simple as a handwritten letter. And then I wrote in the margin of my book, you know, once you make a decision, you must communicate frequently your hopes, your dreams, and your fears. And, of course, these are private to people that are close to you in the fact of your know, like, and trust factor. So that was one aha moment that stuck out at me. And actually, of course, I sat down and I wrote a letter to a friend that I had not communicated with in a very, very, very long time. And I felt really good about that. So it was really more about sharing. And the other aha that jumped out at me, and really this is probably one of the shortest chapters in the book, but at the same time, I think it's one of the most powerful. On page 157, the bottom of the bottom of the page, it talks about, it was such men as these who, without power, without authority, without military strength, and without money, and I would add without permission, and I began to internalize that in my life and in my business, without all of these things, why do I wait and procrastinate, and why not just make the decision? What this book has helped me to do this week alone was to make some decisions and act on some decisions that I've procrastinated on for quite a while. So those were my aha moments from the chapter so far, and I know we're wrapping up this chapter in a couple of weeks. But I tell you, just to reread how the United States was formed just helps me to remember what one simple idea and one simple decision could do, but only if I act on it. So thank you for that.
Wow, that's powerful. And just listening to you, that last phrase, they did all this without permission. Wow, that's amazing. So next on the show, the next amazing co-host is Miss Ursula Odom. And here's my opportunity, my weekly opportunity to say the name of her company. She owns Sula 2 Publishing. That just makes my mouth happy to say. So, Ursula.
Good morning, and thank you for that. Sula 2, we make old new in everything we do, in that we will capture, preserve, and present your legacy information in any form that we can. So thanks for the opportunity to say that. My aha came from page 151, and it reads, keep in mind the fact that every person with whom you associate is like yourself, seeking the opportunity to accumulate money. If you talk about your plans too freely, you may be surprised when you learn that some other person has beaten you to your goal by putting into action ahead of you the plans of which you talk unwisely. Let one of your first decisions be keep a closed mouth and open eyes and ears. As a reminder to yourself to follow this advice, it would be helpful to if you copy the following, whatever that is, in large letters and place it where you will see it daily. Tell the world what you intend to do, but first, show it. And why this is an aha for me is that in two situations I had something happen that feeds into that. I am the type of person that I will make a decision about what I want to do, and everything that's around me feeds into my ability to get that done. And there was this thing that I've been building up to, and someone just blurted out something that was like the missing piece. And then in return, blurted out this excitement, yay! And then she decided she didn't want any parts of it, didn't want to do it. And then I wanted to continue with it and communicated something like that. And she then thought I was taking her idea. I said, oh, crap, my whole life has led up to this moment, and now she thinks it's hers, and it's not even in her realm. I mean, it's not the kinds of things that she normally does. So that was a lesson learned. But then another decision came that made me understand how that might have worked a little better. where I made a decision or something was presented to me just this week that I like and it works for me. And I decided I wanted to do it. But there were some missing pieces for me. And I thought about it. And then I realized that there was another person in my close circle that I know the kinds of things that she's interested in. And so I got on the phone and I called her. I said, here's what I'm thinking about doing. I want to do this. And here's what I think you could do as a here. No, I said more definitive than that. Here's what I would like to offer to you because it meets what I think your goals are. And here's what I want in return. I say, it may sound selfish, but this is what I want. And she said, okay, that works for me. And you can have what you want. And so deal done. But my point is, if I approach the conversation of sharing this information with a definitive idea of what I want in return, because I've made that decision, then either that person can buy into it or not. But if they say no, I still own it. So that was my aha.
Wow, that's a powerful aha. It's amazing to me how this book written decades ago, scores ago actually, continues to breathe life into our daily activities. So fantastic, fantastic aha. So the next co-host is Dr. Peter James. Peter, you are a professor, you're an entrepreneur, you're a speaker. What ahas did you get from this chapter this week?
Good morning to you, Galen. Good morning to everyone out there listening. Wow, happy to be here this morning. And yes, my name is Dr. Peter James, also known as the High Performance Coach. I have a varied background. I'm not even going to go into all of that detail this morning. So excited about this book, about weekly discussing Think and Grow Rich with these intellectual hosts that we have here. It's beginning with yourself, Galen, of course. So thank you all for this opportunity to be able to do so. But this chapter of decision, wow. So as an educator, part of my life is I spend time in higher education. So I have a problem with higher education to a certain extent. I think it is ripe for disruption. I think our educational model needs shifting a little bit around a lot of different concepts that we've been teaching our kids for decades, centuries to a certain extent. But then on page 149 of this great book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, he makes a bold statement. He says, procrastination is the opposite of decision. It is the common enemy which practically every individual must conquer. And of course, that leaped off the page to me. And the first time I read it, and subsequently, of course, as I continue to read, every time I see that, I'm like, yep, absolutely. It's a problem that plagues many of us. But what also jumped off the page to me is if you go towards the end of the chapter, to page 159, it kind of shows a little bit where this procrastination comes from. And this, it says on page 159, indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. And this may speak to many who are listening here. The habit takes on permanency as the youth goes through grade school, high school, and even through college without the definiteness of purpose. The major weakness of all educational systems is that they neither teach nor encourage the habit of definite decision. And I think it's so huge that we teach our young people how to make decisions and not to procrastinate and not to be indecisive. But also as we transition to adulthood, that we practice the habit of avoiding procrastination, but be intentional about our decision-making so that we can really see the outcome of our intentions, the outcomes of our goals, and really think and grow rich, for lack of a better word. So, Galen, that's all I got this morning from this perspective, and I'm sticking to it. And, again, thank you all. I'm excited to hear our distinguished guest. Galen, right back to you.
Wow, for that to be all that you've got this morning, boy, that's quite a bit. So thank you for sharing. I am really, really excited about this show as well. My name is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist. I help leaders conquer important goals and solve problematic problems in their lives. This was a chapter that just kind of in total hit me differently this week. I've read every word of this chapter several times, but for some reason, this entire chapter hit me differently this week. It's basically because of a project that I've been working on. I've written two books, and one book in particular was written specifically so that I can engage my audience on a daily basis via my own podcast. And every week I seem to struggle with what to talk about. And I finally turned back to the book that was written specifically, the Impact 200 Powerful Leadership and Personal Excellence Quotes. And I literally wrote that book so that I could engage and inspire people on a daily basis. But yet every week I struggle with what to talk about. And so finally I turned back to that book and just made the decision that I'm going to follow the original plan that I made for even beginning this entire process. And I'm just amazed at how my lack of being willing to make a definite decision really did contribute to procrastination, which was getting in the way of my ability to help and inspire thousands, if not millions, of people on a weekly basis. And this book, again, just is starting to read me. That was definitely an ouch moment. My pastor used to say, if you can't say amen, you should at least say ouch. And this was definitely an ouch moment for me. So, again, I would encourage everyone within the sound of my voice, if you do not have a copy of this book, if this is one of those books that have just been on your bookshelf collecting dust, you need to dust it off. You need to break it open, crack the spine, and get into it, because this book is absolutely a guide for life. We're going to go to commercial right now, but when we come back, we're going to have the opportunity to hear from a really, really dynamic person and someone who is really going to speak life into the words on these pages. If you've got a spare moment, please go on social media, tell all of your friends, tell all of your relatives that this is a part of the show that they absolutely can't miss. It will add time to their life. So let's hear from our commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Number 1 is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step 2 is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step 3 is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts. The burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Goals, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number eight. Step number nine, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Boy, I love listening to the summary of 12 of the 13 steps. That just really reminds me of all the ways that this book can be a map for life. So I hope that you are getting as much out of that as I. But definitely hope that you are getting ready to join the conversation. Again, you can join the conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting number 1 on your phone. I'm starting to see some questions coming in already. If you've got questions at this point in the show, wait until you hear from our guest. Tiffany Willis Gilmore is a native of Cleveland, Ohio, but she's lived most of her life in Miami. She is the author and public speaking trainer of several books, and she speaks on and helps people get over their fears of impromptu speaking. Some of her books, one book is entitled My Sentiments Exactly. Another book is 100 Positive Thoughts. She is the former host of a podcast called Signature on the World, and she is president of Speaking Impromptu, which is, I know a skill that many people fear. So she is absolutely really, really dynamic, and I can't wait to have this conversation. So Tiffany, welcome to the show, and tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and in particular how you became a fan of Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich. Tiffany?
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Good morning, Galen. We seem to have lost the connection with Tiffany. So, Tiffany, if you called in on a different line, please press 1 on your line so we know where you are. And in the meantime, Galen, why don't you give us some more ahas on your part?
Yeah, so, you know, we can actually go around with go around to all of the co-hosts, but I will definitely start. This is the chapter that really kind of brings everything together because, you know, as you heard in one of the steps, if we make all these great plans, but then we don't act on it because we haven't made a true decision, then all those plans were for naught. They were actually a waste of time. And, you know, even in my own story, I had all these great plans. I had everything mapped out. Everything was looking incredibly good on paper. But when it came time to actually execute the plan, procrastination stepped in for a variety of reasons. And it actually caused a whole lot of trepidation that I actually didn't have to have. And it stood in the way of me inspiring thousands, if not millions of people, which was the entire purpose of writing the books to begin with. So those are some things that I really got from this chapter in particular, but just being guided by this book, you know, I've often said that the Bible may explain the reason for you being here, but this book, in my opinion, really talks through how do you make the best, get the most out of your time being here. So I'm a fan. The more I get into this, the more I appreciate the words and the research that Napoleon Hill did in order to bring this to us and to have it last for so many years. This is a book that has stood the test of time. It has been tested. Every successful person that I ever hear interviewed, when you press them about the inspirations for them for their lives, when they start talking about books, most of them talk about this book in particular.
And as for me personally, it's kind of funny because I have had this on my shelf. In fact, found one that had the pages frayed because it was so old. And was actually associated with someone that had it was a Think and Grow Rich call. And I helped that person, but I wasn't listening to anything. I was simply helping out, right? And it's like now all of a sudden I realize what an opportunity I missed to start this process so much earlier. But then again, I say, okay, well, maybe it came to me at the right time when I needed, and the student is now ready. Because it's amazing the kinds of things that you find in this book.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I've found as well. You know, and the adage that you alluded to, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I'm just really, really amazed at how many times I might be struggling to make a decision, struggling to do something. And then I get into this book, and Napoleon Hill just lays out the answer, and it's as if I had not read this before. And the only thing that gives that gives it away is the fact that I've got notes in the book. So clearly I've read it before. I've been here before, but for some reason I'm reluctant to follow the steps, now I'm totally dedicated.
Right. And guess what? The teacher is ready. So I've found her. She's ready to go. Thanks for your patience, Tiffany.
Well, fantastic. Well, Tiffany, thank you. We are excited to hear from you. Please share a little bit about yourself and then any insights that you've taken from this chapter in particular or the book in general.
Thank you. Can you hear me clearly, Galen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay. So I want to thank you guys for having me, and I want to say that Think and Grow Rich is one of the most powerful books that I've ever been introduced to, and I was introduced to Think and Grow Rich and the Mastermind Principle years ago when I graduated from Florida Memorial by Ann McNeil. I was in Amway at the time, and she was my upline, and we used to meet every Saturday at about 7 or 7:30 in the a.m., and it was like 24 women, and it changed our lives. Just some years of just planning and being accountable, held accountable to each other, and I'm just excited about having had that exposure. So now I am in a leadership position with the Mastermind Group, and we are fairly new, and we're guided by the Master Builder, Ann McNeil, on Sundays, and we have women from different parts of the U.S. We do our goal setting, our affirmations, we give feedback, and we report on our progress, and most importantly, we encourage each other and hold each other accountable for the goals that we set in our lives. So I am just excited to be a part of that. I'm honored. It's a privilege to have like-minded individuals. Now, when it comes to chapter seven with the decisions, I get so excited about it. I've like yourself, have read it several times. And I guess my aha moment from that would be the fact that leaders make decisions, and they make them quickly, and they make them, with much thought. And then when they have to undo those decisions, they take their time with that. So I have learned to make the decision, follow through on whatever that decision is with action, so that I can avoid the procrastination that I know that I can fall into. I have it. So that's what I want to say about the Mastermind Principle. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I know that we want to get into some questions from our co-host, but your aha about making the decision quickly, that sounds hasty, but in actuality, what that is just trusting your instinct, that we tend to know the decision that we need to make, and it's the analysis that leads its way to, the over-analysis that leads its way to procrastination. So that's a great aha. So we are excited to have you here. Let's go ahead and go to a commercial. And when we come back, we will bring in our co-host. We've been talking a lot about this show, and I know that we've got a lot of questions for you, and we'll get to that right after this word from our commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m., on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, fantastic. Welcome back. And please do dial in so that we can have a conversation. Speaking of conversation, I am just so excited to kick off this part of the show with none other than Ms. Ann McNeil, the Master Builder. I know that you've got a couple questions for our guest. I'll turn this to you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, of course, I've known Tiffany for a long time, and Tiffany is one of those individuals that's a high achiever. And I never stopped to think and question Tiffany why or what or who has impacted this decision in your life, you know, say from growing up. What was your inspiration really to set and achieve goals? I know, you know, like myself, you were our college queen, and, you know, with your children, each one of them are also high achievers. And I do believe that the speed of the leader is the speed of the group. But I'm just curious, where does that come from, that inspiration to set and achieve high goals that you've done?
Thank you, Anna. I want to say that my ultimate and initial inspiration came from my mother. And my mother's inspiration was a little different than everybody else's story when they can say all the great things they did, because even though she did some great things, she was educated and she was working. She was also a really challenged as a single mom. And there were four of us, and we had different dads. We were in a poverty-stricken area of Cleveland, Ohio. And my mother had a number of health issues, namely depression. She had some addictions. And for many years, I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew something was wrong. So as the oldest child, I had to step in a great deal. And I remember seeing her work with my working as a social worker and trying to help a lot of people, and then a lot of times things for us went undone. But I also got to see on the flip side, she and my grandfather started a cleaning business, and then she went from there into having her own franchise as a business. So when she was able to focus, she could get a lot accomplished. But her dialogue to us was not as positive. And even though we have a great relationship today, we look back on that and we joke about it. But she used to always say, oh, don't grow up, don't be like me. You know, you could do so much better and that kind of stuff. And I decided that because she wasn't able to be as supportive in all the things that I did, I was first black prom queen of my high school. I was a 9 letterman, so I played 3 varsity sports for 3 years. And she never came to a sporting event. So I just vowed that I would do the opposite of what she did in those areas that affected me in a negative manner. And I just sort of propelled from there. And anything that she would say as a negative, I just took it as a positive. And I would tell myself and I would tell my siblings, take it as a compliment. Because people don't know how to always convey what they're really feeling. So she indeed was my first inspiration. My second inspiration were the ladies at my church. And they could probably see what we were going through. And they were always very loving and caring and tried to uplift me and many times tried to uplift my mother as well. So that sort of brought it together for me and just put me on the track where I was like, I'm going to do this and this and everything and exceed everybody's expectations.
So you've been thinking and growing rich for a long time. Awesome.
Thank you.
Wow, that was an impactful story, and it really does highlight how we make our own destiny. We create our own destiny. So thank you for sharing that. So I've got a question for you. How were you introduced to the mastermind principle? Just from listening to our conversation earlier, like me, it sounded like this book sat on your bookshelf for a while. but at some point you decided to get into it and jump in with both feet. How were you introduced to the whole principle of masterminding to the point where now you're leading your own mastermind?
I alluded to that in my introduction that Ann McNeil introduced me to it. I was an Amway distributor, and as an Amway distributor in college, I needed to find somebody local, and she was my upline. So she one day introduced me to another book, and then she said, "Oh, you need to come on Saturday." And from there, it was just addictive, just to the challenge and having that accountability. That was one thing. But when I think back to it on hindsight, my mother actually had the Think and Grow Rich book, and I remember thumbing through the pages. And it was a tattered book. So when Ann introduced it to me some years later, I was like, oh, my goodness, I felt like I had gone full circle, and this is where I needed to be. So our mastermind group was so phenomenal, and it held so many people's attention. And for us to go from house to house on Saturdays that early in the morning, make that commitment, and to actually write down our goals, and to verbalize them and to see them come true, it was just extraordinary. But in addition to that, we helped each other out in different areas. I remember we had a lady in the group whose husband left, and I think as he exited, she didn't know he was leaving, and he took all of their furniture out of their house. So I remember Ann saying, "Look, we're going to have this truck." We got her some furniture, and we all provided her with different home goods to give to her. And that Saturday, when she came, she was elated to see that that was one less thing that she had to worry about. And that just let me know, that just sowed a seed in all of our lives that this is what we're here for. We're all interlinked, and we need to be doing this so that once we help other people achieve their goals, our goals have fallen place as well.
Wow, that is definitely a truism, and for me, that just highlights that you can either read this book or you can live this book. And when you live it, things just work. They seem to work the way that they're supposed to. So thank you for that. Okay, mm-hmm. So Ursula, you and I were talking prior to going live. What were some of the questions we were discussing that you want to share with or ask of Tiffany?
Well, your initial statement about share is accurate, quite frankly. Based on what Tiffany just said, I'd like to share that you're not out there by yourself. My mother had some issues as well. In fact, my first book, I wrote Mentally Ill Mom, and it talks about the transition from basically hating her to realizing that I had to love her from where she was. And once I arrived at that point and I wrote about it, the world didn't crash in on me. I mean, the skies didn't fall. And so it was a really good moment when I matured to that point. But the question that I do have for you is tough decisions, tough points. What are some of those tough decisions you've had to make, and how did you position yourself to make them?
Thanks. Thanks for sharing that about your book, too. That's very interesting. I'll look into that. And when it comes to tough decisions, I had maybe three major decisions in life I had to make. And the first one was to relocate to Florida. I was recruited to Florida Memorial University, and at that time it was Florida Memorial College, but I was recruited for aviation. I was in Air Force ROTC at the time, and the decision was tough to make because, one, I didn't know anyone from Miami. I had never visited the area. I was going to be accompanied by my boyfriend, and we had just broken up the day before we were supposed to leave. So, and we were dear friends, but still, he was going to be the only person I was going to know here. The toughest part of that decision was I was going to have to leave my siblings behind. knowing that they were in a situation that was very much challenged. And that sort of wore on me. But I kept praying on the situation, and I said, you know, if I go to this place, I can build a future. I can become educated in the field that I like to be in, because I end up getting a minor degree in aviation management. And the opportunities here were just so wide open. It was such a beautiful place, and it was just such a safe environment. And back then, you know, the college was just so, when it came to Christian exposure, and they just made us go to chapel, and the people, it was just a family. It was just a real tight-knit family, and it worked for me. And so I was able to later reach back, and my sister ended up going to Florida Memorial. My brother ended up moving to Florida, and then my mother and my sister moved some years later. So I was here for like 7 years by myself. Another just tough decision I had to make was leaving my marriage and retreating back to Cleveland. I hadn't been there in a long time, and the culture is so different. And so the embarrassment of having a marriage that was failed when everybody thought everything was perfect was something to really, it was weighing me down. But I decided to go back because I needed to be around my family. And the rest of my family is so phenomenal that they helped me through the situation. In addition to that, it let me and my children know that we can succeed anywhere. They needed to see where I came from, because they couldn't see that here with all the bright lights and the sun and the beaches in Miami. So we went back for about 5 years and developed some things and maintained our family ties. My father is the youngest of 13 individuals, the 13 siblings, and we needed to go see his family, and there's a whole lot of them. And then my mother's family is from Akron, Ohio, and that's where I end up settling and purchasing a home. So my final toughest decision, which I had to make several times, is becoming voluntarily homeless with my three children. We had some issues where we had to escape some housing issues. We were renting a place, and it was infested with bed bugs, so we lost a great deal of our belongings there. In addition to that, we more recently had a mold infestation that affected our health, and we had to leave there and stay in a hotel situation for some months. We probably could have gotten out of that situation sooner, but I made the decision that I needed to wait. I needed to wait until I could get exactly what I wanted. And I decided I wanted new construction. I wanted it to be in a certain location. I wanted to have access to the pools again. I wanted an exercise room, but I needed it in this particular location so it would be advantageous for my family. So we did that. And as I was going through that, I shared it with my friends, because I like to share things in real time. And I know that everybody doesn't feel comfortable with that, but I needed them to know, this is what I'm going through right now. I'm okay. But I needed them to also be witnesses of me walking through my breakthrough. So that empowered them as well. So those were my tough decisions.
So many of the things that you just mentioned speaks to me on so many different levels. When you mentioned about what you had, your decision was based on having a boyfriend with you. That happened with my daughter, who also went to Florida Memorial. She graduated.
Oh, that's awesome.
She graduated, and we bought her a car. met this young man, and she usually did not introduce anybody to us unless they were serious, right? And so we were all excited. I guess we were so excited we scared that boy away. But nevertheless, she called me one day. She said, "Ma, I only stayed in Florida, in Miami, because I wanted to be with him, basically. But I really want to go to New York." I said, "Well, why don't you?" She said, "Because you all just bought this car." And I said, "Well, don't let a piece of metal stand between you and your dreams. We can sell the car." Now, her dad was not happy with that, but that's what we did. And she moved to New York and has been there for 10 years, and she loves it. And so sometimes you have to make that kind of decision, even though people are not going to be happy. If that's what really seems to be pulling you, you do it. And when you were talking about being homeless and basically having a pride attack, in my case, I went through some similar situations, not homeless, but life transitions. And I ended up going from having a house on the river and driving a Mercedes and making a decision that I didn't want those things anymore, and rode around in a Tahoe. My dad even looked at me and said, "What the heck?" And he says, "I'm a little stronger than that. Are you driving this for us?" Because my thought was, it was paid for, and that's what I needed at the moment. And so I didn't care. My little pride just had to take a little back seat because I was going to survive, which I have done. So when I actually bought another car, I was almost sad to give up that thing because it was a high rider, and then I'm now in a low rider. It's like, okay. But, you know, I hear what you say. And when you talk about sharing, and I know I'm being long-winded, but you touch me in a lot of different ways. I know for a fact that when you hold on to trauma and secrets, that stuff eats you up inside. And I know people that didn't survive that. So when you are able to speak it to someone who cares, I firmly, in personal opinion, believe that is the healthiest thing you can do. So thanks for
so
sharing.
Much, Ursula. You're welcome. Very much so.
Wow. So we've got some callers starting to come in. So definitely dial in if you have a question that you want to ask. Because we will get to your questions very, very shortly. But now we're going to hear from Dr. Peter James. Dr. James, you do a lot of work with clients around decision-making. What questions do you have for Tiffany?
Yeah, thank you so much, Galen. Tiffany, first of all, thank you so much for sharing your story and your background and your upbringing, even some stuff that I'm sure is near and dear to your heart or the audience. As I also am getting a ton from you and learning a lot that I can apply to my own life as well. But, you know, I mentioned earlier about the delineation, the difference between decision-making and procrastination. But in regards to your life, your history, how have you implemented decision-making versus procrastination in your life? How do you make decisions the mainstay and avoid procrastination? And it sounds like you do that already, but I just want to hear a little bit of your take on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that question. I position myself in regards to avoiding procrastination by just mentally making it a priority. I remember years ago in church, the pastor said, "You got to learn to procrastinate. And I found that when people procrastinated, I associated with so much hurt and loss of time and energy. And then as we get older, we start dealing with health issues and blood pressure rising. Because when you're younger, you can do that stuff and you think it's okay. So I decided I just did not want to have the health effects of procrastinating. As I have a master's in public health, and I always would hear medical professionals speak on different topics. And I just said, this is a decision I make. This is going to be one of my banners for life, and I am not going to do it this way. I recall as a child, when I was with my mom, when she would have to take me places, I was always late and almost got kicked out of some associations because of it. And reverting back to that as well, saying, no, I got to get there early. So even when I had to, so 16 years old and had to walk 7 blocks to the supermarket to work, I would leave early. And I learned how to gauge it because it is so very important for my mental state. So that's why I hold to trying to make that decision and follow through.
Awesome, awesome stuff. Again, thank you so much for sharing that. I truly appreciate it. Good stuff. Galen.
Yes, well, fantastic. Well, let's go to a commercial, but when we come back, we're going to hear any takeaways, any ahas that we might have gotten from this incredible conversation. I'm looking forward to that as well. But you still have time to call in. If you would like to ask a question, please dial 661-554-9219 and then hit number one on your phone. And we'll be right back after this commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. And we definitely want to get to some final thoughts and some questions. I think we might have a question, a call-in question. Before we do, Tiffany, I know that you have attended the annual life meeting. I want to call it a life meeting, but the annual meeting. I would just love to get your thoughts on the meeting itself. How impactful was it? Is it something that you plan to attend again? And would you recommend it to any of our listeners?
I would definitely and wholeheartedly recommend it to all of our listeners and anybody else that they can pass the message on to. The IMA Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting for 2020 is going to be held on January 4th on a Saturday at 8 a.m. at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton. And I'm sure they can look on the website and get the exact address, and they can go on Eventbrite and order. That annual meeting is so super-duper phenomenal. It's an experience of a lifetime. It educates you on how to achieve your goals, and it exposes you to the power of the mastermind. You get to meet other people who are goal-setting just like you and get their take on it and their history just like the feedback that we have. And we get to hear that we either have experienced some of the same things or that we know people that have. So these individuals are coming from across the United States to participate and further and abroad to be a part of this annual meeting. It's conveniently located. It's conveniently priced. It's just phenomenal. And not to mention how delicious the food is. And that, you know, when you're hanging out with new people, that just makes it even better to share in your experiences and to dine in fashion. But the thing is, it's life-changing, and you can meet people who can be friends for life. And the networking opportunities and possibilities there are just so great. So I do encourage everyone to be a part if you haven't in the past.
Well, I'll tell you, it's worth the money. It's worth the price of admission just to meet Tiffany Willis Gilmore, because this has been an incredible conversation so far. Do we have a caller? It looks like we might have a caller. The last four digits on their number is 2693. Is that caller still out there, or have they? Yeah, come on in, caller. You're live.
I think we have a shy person because I've attempted to invite whoever that is, and they are not responding. So I'm not sure what's happened there.
That's all right. No problem. So let's go ahead and go around again. I would love to hear any key ahas that you've gotten from this conversation with Tiffany Willis Gilmore. I'll tell you from my perspective, this has been an incredible conversation, just understanding the power of making a decision and then also to not allow your situation to dictate your future were some themes that I definitely heard reinforced in the conversations. Ms. Ann, any ahas from you?
Well, absolutely. I've known Tiffany for a very long time, and a lot of this story I did not know. Some of it I did. So my aha today was just listening how she, from a very early age, has always been thinking and growing rich by being able to turn a situation around. I'm not going to even call it a negative because oftentimes these situations determine who we are, going back to what I think it was Peter talked about at an early age. When that book talked about procrastination starts at an early age, indecision starts at an early age. And we can see in Tiffany's example, the opposite is true too. So she was very definite on making a decision, holding to that decision, knowing what was right, what did not feel right, and deciding to make a change. So that was really my major aha. I could go through a lot of, but for sake of time, I'm going to turn it over to the next person in line. But Tiffany, always phenomenal. And congratulations to all of your members that are listening in this morning. And we will also be looking forward to having them on the show too. So really appreciate your coming on.
Thank you. Is it okay if I add one thing, Ann? And
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the other things I wanted to touch upon, and I heard someone earlier and I mentioned about it was something to the effect of going with your gut. And one of the things that I learned actually from one of my siblings is she always used to tell me to pray for enhanced intuition and that would usually make things clear. And so I remember praying and saying, you know, I want to enhance the intuition, and my gut situation got so much clearer, and somewhat to the point where it's just sort of scary sometimes. So when it comes to decision making, instead of us doubting ourselves, we need to know that our gut is our gut for a reason, and that's our signal and that's our message, and the universe in God's universe is creating that for us to be safe, to make educated decisions, and we can go with that. And if we go with it and for some reason it doesn't work out totally the way that we want it to go, then we can still learn from it, like what Ann just mentioned. So we have to take that leap, and we have to take that leap based on something that we already have. And that's that intuition, that gut feeling, that guide within us to let us know whether we have the yes or the no or the stop or the go on a situation.
Fantastic. I totally agree with those comments. Ursula, do you have, I don't know if you've shared your ahas from the discussion.
Well, actually, right in the middle of asking my questions, I shared my aha. It was just a wonderful moment to be able to speak with you, Tiffany, and interact with your life story and the decisions that you've made. So it's been a very thought-provoking moment, period. And to know that others share similar journeys, even though we may be going in different or taking different paths, it looks and sounds a little familiar. and that helps position people to feel like they can survive too. So you've done it, and I'm sure it will inspire many of us to continue along the path to success. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
All right, Dr. James, how has this conversation impacted you?
So much for being with us. Yeah, thanks a lot again, Galen and Tiffany. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Again, your story, your road has been an inspiration to me already. The ability to change a not so positive situation from childhood and your youth into a positive situation as an adult is very, very inspiring. And it is a tale in itself of decision-making, and it seems that you learned that early. So, again, I'm hoping that the audience was able to pick up on that and find a way to apply that to their lives, actually beginning today. And, of course, this chapter in Think and Grow Rich is a good backbone to begin that journey as well. So, Tiffany, thank you so much for that. I truly appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
All right, Tiffany, any final thoughts from you?
Well, I want to thank you guys once again. I think you're just a really phenomenal crew, and I listen to the show, and I am elated to be a part. I do want to mention also that one of the things that we're going to find as a challenge when we try to make decisions is the opinions of others. And those opinions can sometimes sway us from what we may think is the right path for us. But in regards to that, I think we have to look at Maya Angelou's words when it comes to people revealing themselves and how we must believe them. Because many times their opinions are a reflection from their own lens and their own perspective, and that even though they can be valuable, it is even more important to know how they perceive us when we accept the advice and the feedback that they give us. So I like people to always be open to hear other people, but they at least have to take into consideration from what lens are they viewing you and your situation from, so that you can make your best decision for your life, because you're going to be the one who has to live and push through it. So I know I haven't always made the decisions that other people have wanted. My father and I are very close, and he often tells me I make bad decisions, and I always have to correct him and tell him that I make a lot of decisions. And just like this Chinese proverb said, that we have to live with more rice on the wall. And the more rice that you throw on the wall, the more it's going to stick. So I take more chances, I do more things, and I put more rice on the wall so that when it all falls out, I've accomplished more for me and for my family. And I taught my kids at an early age to do that. And because we work as a team, then we get to share in each other's successes. Because being in a situation like this, as a head of household and having to push two children in college right now and another child in a private school, and it is a big push. It's a major accomplishment, but it's a big push. And one of the things that I've decided in my life is that any other kids that come in my path while I'm raising my children, that I'm going to help them succeed too. I've always done it with adults, but I really push the kids because they have an open ear. But each of my children have had over like nearly 250 accomplishments each because I supported them in their associations. I helped them build businesses. I helped them in every way I could, and I told them that there were no boundaries. And I'm going to share one short story. I remember my daughter was going to this program in Tuskegee, and for she wanted to be a veterinarian for like 11 years. And so I really thought that was what she was going to do. So her father canceled. He was supposed to take her. I was supposed to go bring her back. And I had had a car accident, so I wasn't one to drive places I wasn't familiar with. So I ended up having to take her and go. I had to take her, come back, go back to get her and bring her back on the bus and on the shuttle and on the train. Because at that point, last minute, the plane tickets were, the train, because the plane tickets were too high. So I got her there. I came back to find out someone had broken in the house that we were renting. Had to work that out. And by the end of the week, I had to get back on the bus. I had to get back on the bus or the train, whichever way I went that time, and then get to Atlanta Airport. I had to take a shuttle from Atlanta Airport to Alabama, to Tuskegee. I decided that because I had to spend hundreds of dollars fixing the sliding glass door that the people had broken into the house with, that I could not pay for the room at the hotel because Tuskegee University has a hotel on their campus. So I explained that to a guy, and I pushed the reservation to the next year because we were going to be going back. So I went early. I went a day early, and I anticipated sitting there and reading a book until the next morning in the lobby until my daughter was awakened for the final closing ceremonies. So what we ended up doing is I was there, and this guy alone, because I couldn't find her, and this guy came in and worked at the hotel, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you Miss Lois Gilmore?" And I said, "Yeah," and I thought it was funny that he would know it was me. He said, "I have something for you." So I followed him, and he took me to a room, and he said, "I remember your story. I was the one you talked to, and here's a room. The only problem with it is that these boards are broken on the dresser drawers." He said, "But I want you to sleep comfortably because I remember what you said you were going to do." And I was so thankful. And I'd learned before that not to be embarrassed about my situation. Anyhow, I gave him a hug. And he said, "When you leave, you don't have to clean up or anything." He said, you don't have to wave. Just go and enjoy the closing ceremony. And that just let me know that I was not the only person that was helping other people and sowing seeds into their lives. And that, you know, that he, even as a college student, reached out to me. So I just want everyone to know that we need to reiterate that we are definitely not in this story and in this life on our own. Everybody is a resource. And these relationships can be built anywhere and everywhere. So with that, I thank you guys once again.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic story. And there you have it, another episode of Think and Grow Rich on Blog Talk Radio, hosted by the International Mastermind Association. We are here every week, every Saturday. And please share this recording. This has been an incredibly, incredibly powerful show. And I'll leave you with the words of Ralph Waldo Emerson, and I believe they are absolutely applicable here. He said that once you make a decision, the entire universe conspires to make it happen. But first, you've got to make that decision. So I hope that you will make the most imaginative, the most profitable, the most audacious decisions possible, starting with getting into the book, Think and Grow Rich. This has been Galen Bingham, the Leadership Strategist, and thank you for listening to the show. Take care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-4380. 1-530-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.